How are you? No, really, not just asking randomly. How are you? Are you healthy? Are you fit? Are you strong? Do you feel energetic? Do you love your life? Do you love your career? Is life going the way you want it to? Most days, some days, every day, or no days? And have you noticed that often when you ask people, how are you, they will tell you. And often it's not very positive. So what can we do? Is it possible to be energetic, to be excited about life, to be healthy, fit and strong, and be able to deal with all the massive challenges that life throws at us? And isn't it silly to think that it won't? Some people say, no, I just want my life to be easy. Well, wouldn't it be boring if it was? And how would we get stronger, tougher, wiser? How would we get better at being human beings if life was always easy? So how do we make sure that we've got the energy, enthusiasm and excitement for life? What a great question. Probably the bazillion dollar question. And if you Googled the answer, you'd probably have a billion different answers. And if you put it out there for the experts to give you an answer, I'm sure you'd get a stack of answers. So here's a great question though. What are the things that we do every day as humans to make sure that we feel good? So for example, if you brush your teeth, do you feel better than if you don't brush your teeth? If you have a shower, do you feel better than if you don't have a shower? If you eat food, do you feel better than if you don't eat food? If you have a great sleep, do you feel better than if you don't sleep? So if you are sleeping deeply, you're eating healthy, you're brushing your teeth, you're having a shower, you're eating food, yummy food, is it possible that we are on a better track to feeling good? And imagine this. Imagine if somebody said to you, how are you? And you said, well, actually, I haven't slept for 7 days. I haven't eaten any food for 7 days. I haven't brushed my teeth for 7 days. Haven't had a shower for 7 days. How do you think I'm bloody feeling? Which is probably the answer. You'll be hangry, dirty, grumpy, hungry, and just life won't be going so well. So how could we be expected to have a great life if we don't do those normal, ordinary, average things that a lot of us take for granted? We just do naturally. We just brush our teeth because it's time to brush your teeth. We have a shower because that's what we do every day. We eat food because we're hungry, or that's the time of the day to eat food. And it's nighttime, so we probably sleep. And they all seem really common, normal things to do to make sure that we feel good. Is it possible that there's a really big one missing? If I say to you, haven't brushed my teeth for 7 days, how do you think I feel? Or even a better question, have you ever missed brushing your teeth for 7 days? And I hope the answer is no. But if the answer is yes, how much did you desperately want to brush your teeth if you haven't had that pleasure for 7 days? What about not having a bath for a whole week? Now, I hope that's never happened to you, but if it has, maybe you've been out camping or you're in the army or something happened with your water supply and you couldn't have a shower for 7 days. How did you feel? Yuck. Interesting question though, because when I talk about exercising every day to feel good, to have energy, to promote happy drugs pumping through your brain, to get that acute benefit from exercise, that immediate effect of feeling good, feeling energetic, feeling happy, feeling positive, a lot of people think I'm a little bit fanatical. Rowie, every day? Do you really exercise every day? And my answer is always the same. Yes, because I brush my teeth every day and I have a shower every day and I eat food every day and I have a sleep every day. So yes, I exercise every day. And if asked which is more important, it's probably a silly question. It's a bit like saying which is the most important part of the car. Is it the steering wheel or is it the engine or is it the petrol that you put in the car or is it the servicing that you give the car or is it the tyres? And they're all just as important as each other, and that's an argument that I don't want to get into because it's a silly argument, but there are people who suggest, well, what's the use of a car without an engine? Exactly, but what's the use of a car without any wheels or if the tyres are flat or if the clutch doesn't work or the steering wheel's broken. Everything's just as important as everything else to make sure that you have a high-performing car. What about a high-performing body? We teach our kids, don't we? Brush your teeth, have a shower, eat healthy food, make sure you go to bed, it's bedtime. But we seem to forget this major benefit, this major inclusion in our lives that has such a major effect on how we feel. So here's a great question. Have you ever felt grumpy or tired or lazy or unenergetic, just didn't feel like exercising and you did anyway? For some reason you had to. Somebody came to pick you up, or there was an event on that you'd committed to, or for some reason, even though you didn't feel like it, you went to do some exercise. How'd you feel afterwards? You cannot physiologically or even psychologically feel worse after you exercise. It is actually impossible, because the physical, psychological, chemical, biological changes that happen inside our body when we exercise are driven by the outcome of feeling good. So when you sprint, or when you lift heavy, or when you punch, or when you dance, or when you run up a hill, and I'm using all of those as an example because a lot of people consider exercise to be activity, movement. And when I talk about exercise, it's a little bit different, because those chemical changes, those neurological changes, that psychological effect that exercise has on your body doesn't come from going for a gentle walk. And yes, you'll probably feel better if you have a nice relaxing walk, or you go and do something easy, some kind of moving activity. But the major chemical changes, the happy drugs pumping, the dopamine rush, the endorphins, the norepinephrine, noradrenaline, the amazing changes that happen in our body come from the more intense the activity is. And the beautiful thing about intense activity is that it can't go for very long. And I always ask that question: can you exercise long and hard? Can you sprint long and hard? Can you lift long and hard? And of course the answer is no. The harder you exercise, the harder you run, the harder you ride a bike, the harder you swim, the heavier you lift, the shorter the exercise has to become. And the harder you push, the more the chemical changes happen inside your body. And the major chemical changes happen from 0 to 10 seconds. That's that immediate cortisol response when we have to run away from something that is affecting our life. We want to run away from stress. Now, we can produce our own stress because we can tell our body, we're going to sprint, go. And 0 to 10 seconds is that you can actually feel it. If you listen to your body, if you feel your body, if you're aware of your body in that process of going from 0 to 10 seconds, you will actually feel those major chemical changes that go on in your body. So the first response, of course, is cortisol, adrenaline, epinephrine, so that you can go. And everything happens inside. You've got to get energy from the cell into the bloodstream so that you can go as fast as you possibly can. And that takes an enormous amount of energy, enormous amount of effort, and it all happens neurally. It's not that your body's producing some kind of special energy from your muscles even. It's just a neural response to bang, go. And that's where those chemical reactions happen. And that's where we feel awesome directly afterwards, because once you've sprinted away from the threat, once you've been stressed and then you overcome the stress, you now fill up your brain with what I love to call happy drugs. You feel good because you've got a dopamine rush, which is a neurotransmitter that makes you feel good. You have brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a neurotransmitter that is a fertilizer for your brain that makes you smarter. Neurogenesis, you actually grow new brain cells. And all of this is really exciting to me, because as an exercise professional, or often we hear about exercise, don't we? It's good for your long-term health, and you'll have less chance of disease, and you'll have less chance of being overweight, and it's good for your bones, and it's good for your muscles, and all of that's really true. But the most amazing and immediate effect of exercise is how good it makes you feel. So when people say, how are you, or are you happy, or how are you doing, if you ever answer with or feel, I feel tired, or I feel lazy, or I feel lethargic, or I can't be bothered, or even I feel depressed or angry or annoyed, they're all chemical responses that happen, of course, to your brain that make it's a downside chemical response. So how can you reverse it to an upside chemical response? And there's no one's going to argue that if you sprint, you will now produce the drugs that allow you to sprint, and the drugs that then give you a reward, and dopamine being the most powerful one, which is technically a happy drug. And I share that because a lot of people aim to get a dopamine rush from heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, alcohol, smoking, gambling, drinking, the things that people get addicted to are not the thing they get addicted to. It's the dopamine rush that they get from doing that thing. And the beautiful thing about exercise, yay, is it gives us that amazing reward rush, the dopamine rush, in a really short period of time so that we feel good. So could it be that simple? Could we change our mood really quickly? And the neuroscientists will say yes, the medical professionals will say yes, but it won't work if you don't do it. Does that make sense? It won't work if you don't do it. So we can talk a lot about how sprinting will pump happy drugs into your brain. We can talk about how lifting heavy will pump happy drugs into your brain. We can talk about how sprinting and lifting heavy will give you a healthy, fit, strong body and all. Give you less chance of getting sick or diseased or picking up a virus. And if you do get sick or diseased or pick up a virus, you'll get rid of it much quicker. If anything bad happens in your life, you'll have a brain that works more effectively. You'll have better self-esteem, more self-confidence, better hair, better skin, better nails, strong bones, a strong heart and lungs, less chance of cardiovascular disease, coronary heart disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, the big killers in the world. I could just continue. The list is amazing. But if you don't exercise, if you don't intensely exercise, which is get really fit and get really strong because you get puffed and you lift heavy, none of those benefits happen. So why don't we do it? And I share that as a general comment because I obviously do, and it's easy for me to say, when you exercise, this is how you're going to feel. But nobody knows that unless they do it. There's that really interesting statement that's been around for quite a while now. Nothing tastes as good as being healthy, fit, and strong feels. But sadly, there are a lot of people now who don't know what it's like to feel healthy, fit, and strong. They've grown up in a household, or I'll just rephrase, is it possible that there are people who have grown up in a household where they've never exercised, they've never eaten healthy food, they've never put their body through any form of intense activity, and their body at a very young age is already wasting away, it's already sick, it's already diseased, depressed, overweight, and not enjoying life simply because the body's not healthy? Is that possible? So what do we do? As an exercise professional, as a parent, a teacher, a coach, I always ask that question. What do we want for our kids? And whatever's happening in our life, what do we want for our kids? That's why I'm so committed to not just knowing how the human body works and being excited about exercise and the benefits of exercise, but am I living the example so that people can see that it's possible to be healthy, fit, and strong and not have to exercise like a fanatic for hours and hours? And to me, that's really important because I get that there are people in the world who love to exercise for hours and hours, and they love to go to the gym 7 days a week, and they love to run long distance events, etc., etc. I get that. I used to do it too. Woohoo! But I ask myself this question: am I living the example for the general public that I'm aiming to inspire and excite and motivate to exercise? Am I living the example that it's possible to not have to be a fanatic? And if people say to me, Roe, what do you do to exercise? I have this really cool answer: as little as possible, as short as possible. And one of the interesting things there, though, is how many days a week. And I'm asking that question for a particular reason. Because what happens, as I asked at the beginning, what happens if you don't brush your teeth for a week? How do you feel? If you don't have a shower for a week, how do you feel? If you don't eat for a week, now it's an interesting question because there are people who certainly talk about fasting for 7 days. But if you give the average person that option, do you want to not eat for 7 days? The answer is probably no. I want to eat. I like my food. So if you don't eat for 7 days, you don't sleep for 7 days, you don't drink water for 7 days, you'd probably be dead. If you don't brush your teeth, don't have a shower, how will you feel? Well, what if you don't exercise for 7 days? Now, a lot of people will never know what that feels like. In fact, it's been 7 months or even 7 years or 17 years since they've exercised. So you can go your whole life without exercising. I get that. But if you are really fit and strong, what happens if you don't do anything for 7 days? And as a human, are we wasting away if we don't do anything for 7 days? And how will we feel if we don't do anything for 7 days? And as I shared, sadly, most people don't know and don't care. The short-term yumminess of food or the short-term release of drinking alcohol or taking drugs is the way they're trying to feel better. But if somebody tells you don't exercise for 7 days, should we be aware of what actually happens? Apart from the fact that your muscles and bones, if you are an inactive person and then you become a totally inactive person for 7 days, there's almost a decade of wastage that can happen in such a short period of time. And I always use the example, if you're in a hospital bed, God forbid, and you don't move for 7 days, how do you feel when you've got to stand back up again? What's happened to your body's ability just to stand up? Is it possible that you've become incredibly weak? And if I ask, do you want to be weak or do you want to be strong? Most people share with me they want to be strong. And if I've got weak bones and weak muscles and a weak heart and lung system, what happens to my ability to fight germs, bugs, viruses and diseases? And is that possible that that's one of the reasons why when people go into hospital, unfortunately for perhaps a broken leg or some kind of accident or injury, they end up getting sick when they're in hospital because they've become completely inactive? So is it possible that apart from the fact that we feel fantastic when we sprint and when we lift heavy, because that's the thing that pumps happy drugs, is it also possible that if we don't do any form of activity for a period of time, whether it's 2 days, 5 days, 7 days, 2 weeks, and some people it's a very long time, and is it possible that's why we have so much disease? Is that possible? Or we have people who pick up a virus and get really sick and or die, God forbid. Is it possible that's why we have so many challenges in the world right now with depression, anxiety, Alzheimer's, dementia, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis? Because as humans, we've just stopped moving. If we stop moving, is it possible that our body will waste away, that we will get weak? And if the answer is yes, then as an exercise professional, isn't that exciting? We have the answer to the biggest killer diseases in the world. We've got the prevention and the cure. If I'm fit and strong, is it possible that I will have less chance of the top killer diseases, which are coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, depression, stroke, obesity? They're the biggest killers in the world. If I'm fit and strong, my chances of getting those are almost zero, if at all. And if I do get them and then I become fit and strong, I can get rid of them. I can cure them. So what are we doing as exercise professionals to get people to exercise, or to make exercise as important as having a shower, brushing your teeth, eating food, or sleeping? And could it be that exercise is as important as those, or more important? And I am asked the question often, Ro, if you had to give up your shower or your exercise, which one would it be? And I would, as much as I hate being dirty, I would much rather exercise I would much rather miss my shower than miss my exercise. I'd rather miss a meal than miss my exercise. And that's because I have a really great understanding of what exercise does for my muscles, my bones, my heart, my lungs, my immune system, my cardiovascular system, most importantly, my hormonal system. But what about my psychological system, my central nervous system, and what happens inside my brain? And doesn't matter what happens in your life, if you go and do an exercise session, because you pump those neurotransmitters into your brain, you will feel better, you'll feel happier, and you'll feel rewarded, and you'll have neurogenesis, which is new brain cells. And once you've got new brain cells, once you've got neuroplasticity, you've now got the capability of thinking more clearly, thinking differently, making better decisions, being more creative, and just making your life better because your brain works better. Here's an even better question. What does your brain control? And is it possible that if we can keep our brain healthy by making sure that it's constantly being filled up with the neurotransmitters that create reward, that create fertilizer, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, that create that system that makes us feel happy, is it possible that our life will be better? And as much as it's awesome to brush your teeth and have a shower and eat food, and it's really important to sleep, Is it possible that exercise is as important or more important than all of those? And I'll just put that into perspective. Is it possible that if we have a really great exercise session, we'll sleep better? Is it possible that if we have a really great exercise session, we've got happy drugs pumping into our brain that will make better decisions about our food? Is it possible that if we have a great exercise session, we'll even really enjoy our shower because it refreshes us after a great exercise session? Is it possible that if we've got a healthy, fit, strong body, we'd want to have healthy, fit, strong teeth as well? So we would be wanting to look after all of our body because we are a healthy, fit, strong human being. And is it possible to be fit and strong without exercise? Or I'll rephrase, what is the only way to get fit and strong? And there's no argument. The only way to get fit is to overload your heart and lungs. The only way to get strong is to overload your muscles and bones. And that comes from intense activity. So whatever it is that you do, of course, it doesn't matter. As long as you get puffed and as long as you use every muscle and bone and ligament and joint and tendon in your body, you'll get fit and you'll get strong. The only thing is, exercise professionals, of course, is our number one rule is we'll never hurt our client. And wouldn't that be sad that there's this major significant benefit of exercise, but there are, and I won't call them professionals, but there are exercise people who actually put their clients or their family or their friends' bodies at risk of not being able to exercise because they give them stupid, dodgy exercises to do that could break their body or hurt their joints or blow out their joints short term or long term. So as an exercise professional, should we be excited about exercise? Should we be as excited about exercise as eating great food, having a great sleep, brushing our teeth, having a shower? And should we keep it simple and easy to understand so that the people in our lives actually want to do it, are motivated to exercise and are inspired to exercise? And could that be the number one professional vision for an exercise professional? To get people fit, to get people strong, and then to create a program that is customized and tailored to suit the person that we're writing the program for or creating the exercise and eating plan for, so that the person will actually stick to it. And wouldn't it be lovely if we had wouldn't it be exciting? Wouldn't the world be different if everybody was fit and strong, if everybody had a brain that was every single day getting pumped full of happy drugs? And that's my very special suggestion, is when people say to me, Roe, how often should I exercise? My answer is always the same. How often do you want to feel good? How many times throughout the day do you want to feel good? And if it only takes 10 seconds to pump happy drugs into your brain, what's the thing that you could do 10 seconds several times throughout the day that could pump those happy drugs into your brain, turn your body into a fat-burning machine, a happy drug-pumping machine, a virus-fighting machine, a high-performance human body machine? Could you run up some stairs, skip rope, punch a bag, jump on a cross trainer or a bike or a treadmill, run up and down your backyard, run up and down the hallway, run up and down your street, run around the block, just do something to get puffed? And could that give you a injection of happy drugs that made your brain work better? And could that be a great question for all of us to consider, so that when somebody says, how are you, even if we're not feeling good, 10 seconds later we could be. Woohoo!